Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you've brought us through another year, Lord God. Thank you for the time we were able to celebrate your birth, your coming, Lord Jesus. Time we could spend with family and loved ones. Lord, hopefully it was a joyful time. We know it was difficult for us others as well. May, Lord, they have experienced your peace and your presence with them, Lord God. We give you this time as we get into your word. May your Holy Spirit speak to us. May it be your word, Lord God. And we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So were you guys all happy with your Christmas gifts? Yeah. Any of you get new clothes for Christmas? How many got new clothes for Christmas? Not many. How many of you, do you remember the age when getting clothes for Christmas was okay for you? Right, remember when you were young, you didn't like getting clothes? But then after a certain age, you're like, I'll take clothes. Do you guys remember the age? Are you there yet, any of you? Yeah, maybe. I remember that, right? There was a point where I just wanted toys for Christmas. And then it's probably not until like after high school where I'm like, okay, I'll take clothes, right? I don't think I got any clothes for Christmas except what I got myself for Christmas. All right, I told Jamie to justify this purchase. I said, this is my Christmas gift. Okay, don't give me anything. I'll just get this for myself. So I got this for Christmas. I got it on sale. All right. I never had a sports jersey in my life. And so I got myself a Rams jersey, an Aaron Donald sports jersey. I got it for like 60% off, right? Crazy deal. So that was my Christmas gift, right? The thing is about when you get new clothes is you got a dilemma, right? What do you do with your old clothes? How many of you find that that's a problem for you? It's a problem for me. I have a problem with getting rid of old clothes. I don't know why I grow attachment to it, right? Maybe it's just because I'm used to having to do it. So I have a hard time getting rid of old clothes now. Here's an example. I've had this hoodie sweatshirt for a while. This actually used to be a brighter blue, right? The zipper's broken. There's holes in the sleeve, right? Holes in the sleeve. There's even bleach marks on this thing. And Jamie asks and wonders, after all this, how many has been? Over 10 years? Over 10 years. Why do you still have this? It doesn't even fit me well anymore. It shrunk, or I got bigger. I don't know, one of those two. I like to think it shrunk. Why, right? That's the issue. I have a problem with getting rid of my older clothes. But what happens when you get new clothes? What happens with the older clothes? The older clothes just sit there, right? They just take up space in your drawers, take up space in your closet, and you try to fit all your clothes in the space, and what ends up happening is you get new clothes, but they're buried in the midst of all the old clothes, and some of them you don't even wear, right? Because it's just get caught up in all the old stuff. Am I the only one who can relate to that? Right? We get clothes that are stained, holy. I'm not talking about the biblical holy, right? Holes all over the place. It's shrunk. It doesn't fit. But yet we still hold on to them for some reason. But this is a theme throughout our lives. It's a theme throughout our lives, what we go through all our lives. This idea of replacing the old with the new. We'll end up doing that all our lives. When we just moved, we have boxes all over the place, and we have boxes that we haven't seen in years that we have to go through all the old stuff because we've got new stuff to replace them. So we have to see what we have to get rid of, right? We do that all the time. Our upgrades, we upgrade things all the time. Our phones get upgraded, and we hope it's for the better. We do all this. It's a whole life process of replacing the old with the new. And this is a central theme and message in the New Testament. The life of the believer in Christ. A central message and lesson for the believer, for the Christian, is this idea of replacing the old with the new. And we're going to take a look at that today. Now, last week we wrapped up the season of Advent, right? These different themes leading up to the coming of Christ. And one of the things we saw is that God is a God of hope. God is a God of joy. He is a God of peace. And he's a God of love, right? Out of love, Jesus came to this earth. Out of love, he came to die on the cross for our sins. Out of love, he resurrected from the dead to give us what? New life. And out of love, he is going to return and reign eternally, right? So we covered all those themes. And if you remember last week, I mentioned about, I'll get to that in a second. So the message I mentioned last week is that the central message of the gospel is actually very simple. And I challenged last week those who are skeptical about Jesus, skeptical about the birth of the story of his birth. They're like, I don't know if I could believe it. I challenged them to just listen to the simple message of the Christmas story. If you don't get anything else, and it's that love is very central to the gospel message. Love God, the love of God, the love for God, and the love we show others. Very simple. If you were to wrap the idea of Christianity in a very nice, clean nutshell, the love of God, the love for God, and love others. Very simple, right? God extended his love to us. We experience his love, and we respond with what? God's love to others. Right? Well, the love of God we experience, we extend to others. Very, very simple, right? In a nutshell, if I can. Today, we're going to look at the central theme of old versus new in the New Testament. And we're going to cover several verses, so hopefully you have your Bibles. How many have a physical Bible? This is where I make you feel guilty. Bring your Bibles. We're going to start off in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. You know why I tell you guys to bring your Bibles? Because if you're like me, you're visual. How many are visual people? How many of you, when you try to think of a Bible verse, you literally look at, you're trying to imagine your own Bible and like where it is in your Bible? Any of you guys do that? No? That's because you're not reading your Bible. No, I'm just kidding. Like, I'm a visual person. So like, I picture, oh, this verse in my Bible, right? If you have a physical, that means like you know your Bible. If you have your phone, it's just so impersonal. You know what I mean? All right, anyways, all right, that wasn't the message. Romans chapter 13, verse 10, starts off, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this do, knowing the time, that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. Some of you haven't done that yet. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness and sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Now, verse 10 speaks to the core message again of love, right, that I just mentioned, of love in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ. The core message is what? The natural result of experiencing God's love is to what? Love others. That is the natural response for us who've experienced God's love, is that you express that love to other people. And so we see Paul starts off in verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Then in verse 11, he reminds the believers of the context in which they live. And what's that context? He says, it's time to wake up. Wake up. What does that mean? Verse 11, salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. He says in verse 12, the night is almost gone and the day is at hand. It's time to wake up. Each day we live is one day closer, one moment closer to what? salvation. We are closer to realizing our salvation than when we first believed. Right? In other words, our life is heading forwards. It's going forwards. It's not going to slow down and go back, right? How many of us wish we could relive our youth, relive our past, right? Many of us wish we could do that, but we can't. The train doesn't go backwards. It doesn't go backwards in time. It's going forwards, right? Life is going to move forward whether you like it or not. But the question is what direction is your life headed? Where is it heading towards, right? For the believer in Christ, what is forward to us? Salvation. We are headed to salvation. We're going to get there. For the unbeliever, for the one who has put their trust not in God, they've rejected the idea of putting their trust in the Lord. They'd rather put their trust in themselves, or they'd rather trust in some other faith or other belief. What's heading to them, what they're heading towards, is judgment from God. That's what the Bible says. So what you're headed towards is the big question you have to answer, right? But for Paul, he's saying, look, each day closer, we are heading towards our salvation. He says, but in the meantime, right, we need to do what? He gives us two terms that is going to be repeated today, that we'll look at today. The first term, to put off. Now, you know me, I'm not going to try to pronounce it in Greek because I'm very bad at pronunciation. I can barely pronounce English words, right? But the word is to put off. In other words, like clothing, we've all changed clothes this morning, I assume. You didn't sleep in what you just wore today, right? We've all put off clothing, right? Put aside or to put away. And the other term we're going to see repeatedly today is to put on. In other words, to clothe yourself, to sink into. And we've all put some clothes on today. Thankfully, I can confirm that, right? We all know the saying, what? You are what you... That is true for some. What's another saying? You are what you wear, right? Haven't you ever heard that? Right? You are what you wear? I should have known that was the first response of some people. You are what you eat. That's very true. But what does Paul say? Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, but put on Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision of the flesh. What are we to put off? He says, put off the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. He also says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's crazy. I'll get to that, what that means in a second. But what he says, the deeds of darkness. And then Paul goes on specifically about the deeds of darkness. What are the deeds of darkness? He says specifically, carousing and drunkenness, sexual promiscuity and sensuality, unbridled lust. So you're just going off of what you are desiring. There's no control in what you desire or lust after. Strife or contention and jealousy. Notice that all these go hand in hand, right? These are often also what's portrayed by the world as exactly what you ought to do, especially if you're young, if you have a lot to live. You know what? Go out. You know what carousing is? Right? Go and party out. Just go. Have fun. Now, when I say have fun, I'm not saying having fun is bad. But you look at what the world portrays and celebrates. The most influential people in media and entertainment, what do they celebrate and parade? The drunken parties, the partying lifestyle. You know what? Hook up with whoever you want, whomever you can, whoever give you the time of day. Go ahead. You're young. Live it up, right? Get what you want. Even if it means that you're in contention with others, you know what? You get what you want because you deserve it. That's what you want. You go get it. You think of this lifestyle that the world portrays in our entertainment and media. This is what they celebrate. Have you ever heard of a musician who sings a song and in the lyrics, it's about getting high? And when they sing that lyric, have you ever heard the crowd's response or people's response to that? When they hear the idea of getting high, what do? Oh, yeah! Woo! It's because that's what they celebrate. Paul says what? That woo almost got my throat there. Instead, Paul exhorts, charges the believer, put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's associated with that? Walk honorably. Do not provide opportunities for the lust of the flesh. So watch how you live. Live with honor. Do not give your body that opportunity that's desiring things that you should not desire. Now, when you see repeated themes as you read Scripture, that should tell you what? That message is important, right? But it also tells you that, you know what? This is a problem area. It's a problem area. And if it's written throughout the letters to different regions, to different churches, that tells you, you know what? This is a problem that just transcends context. It's not a problem with just this local church, but it's a problem in general. And we're going to see this theme throughout. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul is going to charge the believers to no longer live like you used to live before Jesus. Don't live in the way you used to live before you came to Christ. Now, some of you, you may say, I've grown up in a Christian home. I don't have that like before and after life. Then I would say, don't live the life that looks like someone who lived their life before Christ, right? Verse 22, chapter 4 in Ephesians, says that in reference to your former manner of life, you what? Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, what? Laying aside falsehoods, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So what is Paul saying here? What is the put off? You're putting off the old self. What are you putting on? The new self, right? Here, what does he say? He says specifically about the old self. What does the old self look like? It looks like just how everybody else lives. Just like all the other people live. You want to know what the old self looks like? Turn on your TV. Go on to YouTube. Who watches TV now, right? Okay, go on to YouTube. Go on to whatever. Just go outside your door. Go into your dorm rooms. Go into your campuses, whatever. You want to know what the old self looks like? Just look all around how people are living, right? Empty, perverse thinking, a darkened mind, excluded from the life of God because of their ignorance, because of the hardness of their heart. They're callous. Their heart is so callous. It's grown insensitive to the Holy Spirit, insensitive to the things of God. That's a dangerous place to be in. If you find yourself in a situation where your heart is so calloused to the Holy Spirit, you don't even feel conviction anymore. You don't even feel guilty anymore. That's a dangerous place to be in, right? Surrendered over to sensuality. In other words, you're just doing whatever your desires say. Whatever those desires may be, that's what you're pursuing. For the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness and lying. You see this digression of what happens. It gets your mind, the worldliness gets your mind, it gets your desires, it hardens your heart towards God. Next thing you know, you're just going to do whatever you want to do, right? In other words, he said, but contrary, he says, put on the new self. And what does he say the new self is like? It's the likeness of God. What's associated with that? Speaking truth with each other. Paul goes on to Colossians, right? Another city, another church community, right? He spoke to the Romans. He spoke to Ephesians and the church in Ephesus. He's speaking to the Colossians. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked where you were living in them. So again, Paul's going back. This is what you used to do before Christ. This is the very reason God's wrath is coming. Right? Verse 8. But now you also put on them all aside. Put them all aside. Anger, same term. Wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Jew or Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Here, Paul uses, again, the same term we saw earlier, but to put off aside or put away. But he gives another term here. This Greek term, it means wholly, to wholly put off from oneself, to completely separate yourself from something. So it's not just to take it off and just kind of leave it there in the room, right? I have a problem with that too. I change clothes. I like put my dirty clothes right there on the floor when the hamper is about like around the corner. And Jamie's so good to me. I said, Mike, are these dirty? Well, not quite. It's like, there's a hamper right over there. Can you just put it in the hamper? I'm like, okay, I'll do that. I'm here to tell you, you know what? I'm not only going to put this off or put this away. I'm declaring this. I am going to separate myself completely from it. This is going to go in the trash. This is not coming home with me, okay? All right. There you go. All right. To completely separate yourself from it is not going to be there anymore. Paul introduces this term here. It says, since you have already put away, you have separated yourself from this. It's not you anymore. We are to fully, wholly separate ourselves from the old self and evil practices. What are we to do? To put off the former life. Sexual immorality, that's where we get the word from pornography, porneia, impurity, depraved passions, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul speech, lying. All these things we are to put away. Now, some of these are very obvious things that we know we should have put off. But it's interesting. It says abusive speech or foul speech. I hear a lot, is foul language really sinful? Is it really bad that we use foul language? I mean, it's used all the time. And if you watch anything, it's like the standards have really loosened a bit, right? Now you're hearing a lot more foul language. And you hear little kids, that's one of the most like nails scratching the chalkboard thing for me is when I hear little kids using foul language. I'm like, what? No, and, you know. But here, what he says, he even includes that. Why? Because how we speak comes from somewhere. Right? Even the words we use come from somewhere. They come from something inside. And perhaps we've said, well, what's a big deal? It's just words, just language. Well, I think that just shows that how desensitized we've become to what's appropriate, what is honorable. So he even includes those things, right? A couple more verses. What are we to put on? The new self, being made new according to the one who created. He says what? Like Jesus. The putting on the new self is like being like Jesus. Josiah mentioned the verse earlier. We read this at our summer retreat, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, I don't have a slide for that. Therefore, since we've been so great a cloud of witnesses, we have such a great cloud of witness surrounding us. What? Let us lay aside, same word. What are we laying aside? All the encumbrance, every encumbrance, the things that weigh us down. and the sin that so easily entangles us, that easily surrounds us, we're to lay those things aside. Lay them down. Since retreat, have you put any weight down or left aside that you've been bearing? Or did you, when you got home, you ended up putting that weight back onto your shoulders? All right? How many of us, we're charged and encouraged, you know, lay that burden aside. Lay that sin that so easily entangles you, that you get caught up in so much. Lay that aside. Leave it alone. Leave it away and go forward. But how many of us have just picked it back up? Put it back on. James, in James chapter 1, he says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. He says, put off all the filthiness and all that remains, all that's wickedness. And what does he do? He says, in humility, receive the word implanted. In humility, receive God's word. Our minds get filled with so much wickedness that we see. We used to, like when our children were little, driving down the street, if we saw a billboard or an advertisement that we wouldn't want our kids to see, we'd tell them, look away. Right? Don't look. But like, they would have to go to car rides with their eyes closed because it's everywhere. We get so used to it, though, that we fill our minds with all those things. But do we, in humility, receive his word that's cleansing, that's truth? So he says, don't just be hearers of the word. I don't want you just to listen to the word, but I want you to put it into action. Be doers of the word, right? That's what James is saying. 1 Peter chapter 2 goes on. Not only another book, a different author, a different context, but he's saying the same message. Therefore, putting aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. Now, I didn't share this, what I was going to share this passage with Josiah when he picked the song, but how it fits, right? If you have just seen, if you tasted God's goodness, his faithfulness, give him your praise, right? If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Verse 11, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. He says, put those things away. Put it aside. And if you tasted the goodness of God, let people see it in your conduct. And those people, unbelievers or what, who look at you and slander you for your faith, that they see it and it speaks to them. It affects them. And they come to faith. And so when the Lord comes back, or when they go to see the Lord, they will stand in salvation. What are we to put off? Malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, slander. What are we to put on? Have this desire for the milk of the word. Desire for spiritual nourishment from God. Desire that from the Lord. Like, God, I want to know more. I want to grow more. Just like nourishment. In addition to these, some things to put on. Galatians chapter 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have what? Clothe yourselves with Christ. Clothe yourselves with Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Earlier we saw put on the armor of light in Romans 13. right? Put on the full armor of God. What does that mean? In summation, to put on the full armor of God means to clothe yourselves with Jesus Christ. You know, the armor of God inspired, you know, I believe Paul is probably thinking back to Isaiah 59, verse 16 through 20. I won't redo it. But Isaiah 59, 16 describes the Lord's Redeemer. Proclaims the Lord's Redeemer, and it describes the Lord's Redeemer being putting on this armor. And you can see how that picture in Isaiah 59 and what Paul says about the armor of God goes hand in hand. So it makes sense, right? The old ways is the old ways of the world. Old is the desires of the world. The old is the worldly sinfulness that we wrestle with, that we struggle with, those worldly desires we have a hard time with. These are what take up space in the closets and drawers of our minds and hearts, right? These are the old things that we have stored up in the closets and drawers of minds that we have not let go, and it's taking up space. And all the new things gets lost among the old. These are what produces much of the burdens we bear in life, right? Since we need to make room for the new. But something I want you to notice. Notice we have detailed descriptions of behaviors for the old, right? Paul gave very specific behaviors that describe the old self, the deeds of darkness. Don't do this, 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 these desires, those desires, this behavior, this emotion, all these things. These are all very detailed descriptions of the old self. But interestingly, we don't get that list, same kind of list for the new self, do we? We don't have the same kind of details of describing what the new self looks like. What do we have in most common? What is it described? The description is putting on Jesus Christ. Be like Christ. I think that's kind of like, I thought it was interesting, but I thought about it, and perhaps this is why. I think this helps prevent us to think we can do acts of righteousness on our own. Like if we have these lists of things to do, we will probably just make sure we do these things. But just because we do certain acts doesn't mean we're putting on Christ. Doesn't mean we're trying to be like Christ. For a lot of people, they're just doing different deeds to be self-righteous. Look what I did. I came to church every Sunday. I set up tables before anybody came to church. I said hello to somebody. I prayed for somebody. I was nice to someone who's really not nice. See, we could name these behaviors and think we're being righteous. He says, be like Christ. Clothe yourselves with Christ. You see, the new man is not about being a better me. The new man is about being like Jesus. See the difference? Being the new man isn't just trying to be a better you, being more improved you, so you just do better you. No, it's about being like Christ. That's what Jesus has done for us. He made it so that we don't have to effort in just being a good person on our own. He said, I give you my righteousness. I give you my Holy Spirit, and I will mold you and shape you and change you. And we'll see that happen, I believe, if we allow it to. Now, why do I say allow it to? Some people may think that's a little, I don't know about that. How can we allow God to do something? Some people would look at that, hear that and say, doesn't that take away from God's sovereignty? Doesn't that take away from God that you are doing something? Well, I don't think so. Here's why I don't think so. This isn't taking away God's sovereignty or his omnipotence. But if our participation and willingness was not a factor for God's change to take place in us, then I don't see the urgency for Paul's exhortation. I'll say that again. If our willingness and our participation in God working and molding and shaping us is not a factor, then I don't see the need for Paul's urgency and exhortation. If it was just a matter of time before God did it in us, then it's almost like, well, you know what? In time, God will do this in you. Right? In time, God will do this in you. Whenever it happens, it's going to happen. But that's not the message in the New Testament. Time after time after time, what do the apostles say? Do this. Desire this. Walk this way. Live this way. Do not do these things. Do these things, right? Do not provide provisions of the flesh, but what? We'll see here in a second. Some things I want you to marinate over and to think about this, okay? All right, if you're new here today, I have this thing called marinade. I like food, and we like our food marinated, and when we get some a nice, you know, meat or something like that, we like to let it sit in some flavor, right? It's a marinade. It flavors the meat. It penetrates the meat, and then when you eat it, you taste the flavors, right? You got me getting hungry? I'm getting hungry? All right. So here's something I want you to be thinking about. Let it sleep in your mind. Some personal challenges. What do I need to put off and what do I need to put on? What do I need to put off? What do I need to put on? Are there deeds of darkness, old self, former life, encumbrances, the weights, the sin, the fleshy lust, fleshy lust, I wage war against the soul. I love that saying. That speaks really well, right? The partying, sexual sins, perversion, darkened thinking, greed, language. What do we need to put off? What do we need to say, you know what, enough is enough. This is not going to be me anymore. This is not how I'm going to talk anymore. And the great thing about what the Lord does, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, it says, it is not your power that's going to change you. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to change you. Right? It's not us, but God in us, working in us, changing us. He says in Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Later on in verse 25, if you live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has given you new life, then live that way. Live in a manner that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and speaking to you and changing you, molding you. Letting the Holy Spirit affect you. Right? What do we need to put off? What are some things that we have been holding on to? We have stuffed in our drawers. We stuffed in our closets. We put those things on instead of the new things that we have that we hold on to that we don't need anymore. What do we need to put on? So that's the first challenge for us. All of us individually, we need to face that. And it's a lifelong process and lesson we constantly learn. Every single day, we have to make those decisions, right? Some days we fail. Some days we fall. Some moments we feel better. There could be one moment we have a victory moment, and the next moment we get in the car and we just, all right, we messed up, right? But praise God, it's the work of the Spirit. But I have a second challenge, and that's to us as a congregation, us as Generations Church. Some things for us to think about, to marinate over. Three ingredients. Actually, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Individually, three ingredients, right? Some things to think about today. One, hunger for the things of God. Hunger for the things of God. Individually, do we desire to learn, grow, enjoy, discover more about God? Individually, you and I, do we hunger for God? Say, you know, God, I want to know you more. I want to learn more. I want to spend more time and think about those questions that, yeah, that bothers me, but you know what? I need to know you more, Lord. Do you hunger to spend that time? The second ingredient, do you have a reverence for worship? Do you approach God with the right humility and honor? Is your relationship with God that, yeah, he's just a good guy, he's a pal, he's there when I need him, he's always there when I call? But do we have a reverence for God and honor with God? In our prayer time, do we have a reverence for God? Do we realize who we're speaking to? Third thing, do we have Spirit-led relationships? Do we participate in the Holy Spirit's active work in our lives, in the lives of others? Can you say that you have relationships in your life that, man, you could just see the Holy Spirit is just like there? And you know what? You share what God is doing in you, and you share it with others, and they share it with you, and man, it's amazing, right? Do we have those things in our life? Now comes the challenge for us as a church. The challenge for us as generations. What do we need to put off? What do we need to put on? Are we embodying what it means to be in Christ here at church? Or are we operating like the ways of the world? Is our gathering at church can look like another social club? It's just wrapped in Christian wrapping. Oh yeah, we're at church, but our conversations can just be like anywhere else. It could be like anything else. We like food, we'll gather for food. But if someone didn't see our church signs and they walked in, would they know they're in a church? Would they know they're among Christians? Very important, right? So the first thing, I'll get to the first thing. Hunger for the things of God. Do we as a church hunger for the things of God? Do you hunger for the things of God as a church? Do you come to church with a desire and hunger? I want you to come into church and hunger and desire. I want to hear something from God. And if you don't, if you're not getting fed spiritually, I would want you to tell me, you know what, Pastor Mike, I don't feel spiritually fed. And I say, well, we didn't talk then. Because we got to be a church that desires things of God. We hunger for it. We long for it. The second thing, a reverence for worship. That you come to church with an expectation, a desire to experience and to worship God. Not just to sing some songs. Not just to sing some songs that you like. Right? There's one very practical thing that I've been doing, if you haven't noticed. In the morning, before service starts, I'm at the door. How many of you have seen me at the door when you come in the service, right? Once the worship leader starts, if the worship leader is praying, reading scripture, I'm not opening that door. You know why? I want to respect the time of prayer, respect the time of the reading of the word, and if you're late, you can wait. Because when you come in, this room is noisy, it's loud, the floor is loud, the door is loud, people are loud, conversation is loud, you want to say hi to people. That time has passed. Service has started. We have to have a desire to come in with reverence that in this time, it is a time of worship. It's not our time. It's not for us what we do, what we want. It's not just to say hello. That's for after or for before. But we need to prepare our hearts before we go to church and say, you know what? I want to worship God. I want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want to fellowship with the Lord. I want to hear from his word. I want you to speak into my life. The third thing, Spirit-led relationships. Desire to impact and be impacted by what God is doing in each other. We have to be willing and wanting to share what God is doing in us with each other. We want to be able to see the Holy Spirit working in each other's lives and expressing it and sharing it and affecting each other and helping each other and growing together. I'm going to get to that as the next theme for next year, next week. But these things is something that we ought to desire as a church. And if we're doing, if there's things that are being done that's like the old, that's not conducive to these things, then we got to like put it aside for a minute. Reshift our focus. Right? Because this is what we want to desire. Putting off the old, putting on the new. That is a lifelong thing we're going to be doing all our lives, but as believers in Christ, it's just central to our life as Christians. What do we need to put off? What do we need to put on? Do I have a hunger for God? Do I have a reverence for worship? And does my life, the relationships of my life, have, I can see the Holy Spirit in those relationships. New can be scary. How many of you are scared of the new? Yeah. How many of you have been nervous about, you wore something new, you have new clothes you were given, and you're a little scared to go in front of people because of what you're wearing? Any of you? How many of you got new clothes that's very unlike you, but you got it and you went in front of the pub, in front of people, and they're like, whoa, that's not like you. But they say what? Looks good. And they mean it. And they mean it, right? Sometimes the new can be scary. But it's exactly what God wants to do in us for our better. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that when we come to faith in you, when we receive and experience your love, Lord God, that you call us to be new. Not our old self, not even a better version of ourselves, but Lord, you want a desire to make us new. You give us your Holy Spirit to mold us and shape us, to help us to put off those things, put off the deeds of darkness, put off our old self, and that, Lord, you say, put on me. What an amazing thought. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. We give you honor, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.